prayer. The thing is, we are so engrossed in darkness today in this world. Even we who try to be devotees have to struggle. And, I mean, it may be hard to see, but one way to see it is, look at ourselves. I look at myself, you look at yourself. What's in there? Like when you see devotees of God fight with other devotees of God, or hurt other devotees of God, thinking they are lower or unimportant, treat them callously. But most importantly, I mean, just look at the religions, these institutions, these groups. It's all groupthink in action. Now, our God is the right one, the only one. No, your God is the devil. I tell you a true story which I am not proud to tell. But I once stood in a little town in Sweden and sold books on the parking lot outside of the supermarket, and one young guy came up to me, said he was Christian. And when I tried to sell a book, he was there telling the people that I tried to sell to that, no, you shouldn't buy this book because... And then he went on. And at one point, I mean, people went away and we stood there, only me and him. And he said, you know, Krishna is a little devil. And I punched him in the face. I never done that before in my adult life. Well, once when a junkie jumped on one brahmachari when we were out selling books, attacked him. But you know, why do people see it? Why do people do that? Here we are, servants of God, both of us. And one of them he was the one that attacked first by not leaving me alone for hours. Extremely persistent. So that was the only way I could get out of it. And then, yes, he walked away. But I didn't like that, and still today I feel bad about that. But that's the lesson for today. That's why I'm saying that we have to see this thing about God and us and spiritual life and so on, religion, as I don't even like to call it anymore, because then you think of these groups. The groupthink groups. Where I would say the problem that can appear is that exactly what I mean with groupthink, that what our group thinks is the right, is the only truth. The only way to God is through, and then fill in the name of your guru or prophet or... And the others, they are miscreants, they are infidels. They should be eradicated from the surface of the earth. I mean, this is going on today. And I've seen, we have seen, let's be honest about it, even in the community of the Krishna consciousness movement, started by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, wonderful, humble and brave devotee, to help devotees to be friends with each other. It's a society of friendship. But even there it became a religious institution with devotees for a skansar, what is that? In different positions and offices and fortresses. We used to have the war of the gods here in Sweden in the old days with leaders. Each one wanted his own independent temple fortress that he could control and enjoy, and his own congregation, and why not disciples too? I mean, some sit in those positions completely innocently good-hearted, and this is the way of serving Krishna, right? Nice. But I think that those who do that, because there are others who are, I mean, sitting in such positions and climbing up to them for other reasons. I mean, we have to admit and see that. Not thinking that just because someone sits in a position with a fine title and dress, that this person is automatically a great devotee of God. Because being a devotee of God is shown not in that, but in how you are towards other living beings. So these Vaishnava qualities that we read about in the Bhagavad Gita and all over, that's just, we just look at those and try to live like that. That's it. And so think of Krishna all the time and never forget Krishna. And do nice service to Krishna together. That's all there is. And that's the way, that's real spirituality. I mean, I said before, I made friends with a Christian priest when we lived down in the south of Sweden. We used to visit him. He had some kind of community there in the countryside with cows, and where he was treating addicts. He was himself an old ex-alcoholic. And he told me that he wanted it, his dream was to make it like his original Christian brotherhood. I guess sisterhood too, but they call it a brotherhood. Where everyone were just like brothers and sisters and supporting, helping each other. And that was, as far as I understood, he told me then, early Christianity. And I recognized it, and I said, told him so much from the early ISKCON. So I told a devotee we were talking the other day that we are a few of us, all these, we talk about this more and more. Let's go back and do it the right way. And that is, first of all, trying to raise above, float up there, above the modes of nature, of the darkness and the, you know, this that is just coming from all over in society today, and trying to enter into our mind. That's the problem with groupthink. You are in the group, and it's so hard not to get colored and get your mind shaped by whatever opinions and outlook that is ruling and reigning in that collective mind in the group around you. And the thing is today, which is what I'm trying to sometimes shout out there on social media. There are people up there who are expert in using media, if they haven't even constructed the social media for that purpose. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, because they know that the most powerful way to control the world and masses of people is to control our minds, is to shape the cosmos that we find ourselves living in. Yes. The cosmos you live in is your cosmos. Mine looks a little different. Think about that, that your entire understanding of the cosmos, you might think it's completely objective because it's scientific. But it's subjective through the eyes and ears and so on and minds of the scientists. And they have taught you. You don't know what's out there. How far out in space have you traveled? You see it on screens and pictures, and you see it on an old black and white TV screen. I saw one man stepping down on the moon when I was a kid. And yes, we accepted it, of course, that it happened. But it was just something on a screen, as far as I'm concerned, but that became my cosmos. That yes, here, well, there's a moon out there, that's where these men landed now, and yes, of course. But there are those who actually think that they've faked the whole recording, because they couldn't make it in the end. I don't know. So I'm saying that, I'm just using it as an example. Don't get into that discussion. But that, yes, our world can be shaped, and is today more than ever, I think, being shaped by others. And today they have as their tool the most powerful media, mass media, that has ever been seen on the planet. And it's a perfect tool for those who know how to use it, which some do, who is in control of it. I can tell you, I could make, you know, there are documentaries that tell you the whole story, and I'm living in that world because I'm an internet system administrator, and I've been running my own web hosting service, and I know the internet, and I've seen the social media and all that evolve, develop on the internet, and wondering where are they coming from, because when the internet came in the early days, and all of us oldies who were there then remember that, hopefully, it was just a place where you can make your web page and, yeah, tell your story and sell your things or your services, and it was just great. And then these continents called social media, where everyone hangs out as if they were born into it, and where opinions and everything can swing by the moving of a wand, an invisible wand. That is what's going on here. I'm telling you, it's technically completely possible. There are these people with that knowledge, and there are organizations, groups, you can find it if you dig a little into the documentary world, which is fortunately still here, because the thing is that the internet is, and that's kind of the secret of it, is built to be resilient. So it's still a free world where we can tell our stories, where we can communicate with each other, we do not need all these social media platforms. We don't need Microsoft. We don't need Apple. We don't need Google. There are other search engines, because Google was originally a search engine. We don't need Facebook or X or any of those. If we find them useful for us to get reliable information, then great. But if they turn into fake news platforms or propaganda platforms or whatever, we need to learn to see that. And we can make our own. We all this, but of course, everyone who's on that platform or understanding the internet, we know that. You can make your website. You can always find a web hoster to host it at, and we even have our own here. It's not so difficult. Completely independent. So let's get out there and light up the world by first of all lighting up, shining up our own minds. And if you sit there, which I do also, what can I do, little me? And I mean, I'm nothing special. And I would say it is about that. Just learn this that Srila Prabhupada gave us and take this beautiful bhakti path. But do it for real, not by pretending, putting on a costume, grabbing a position, and then look at me, I'm a great Vaishnava. That's what we did, many of us. I don't know how it is now, but in the old days, we try to emulate Vaishnavas, but we sometimes, some of us, remembered, some forgot that it's about the qualities, personal qualities, consciousness, mind frame, you know, heart, how we are toward each other. Just like yesterday, it's so subtle sometimes. I was talking to a devotee yesterday, standing outside our house here, which is again in a crisis situation. That this, you know, how many of those I've seen, I don't even remember. And I said, you know, we just need to gather a few of us and get the rats out of there, because it's filled with rats. One is in my kitchen right now. And clean it up and work together the way we used to do. I mean, and he said, because he was, I don't know why, son looked depressed, and he said, oh, the best thing is just to sell the house. And it's a rental facility with 12 apartments where devotees are living, and I've been living here having my apartment here for like 25 years. This is my home. This is where my children were born and grew up and still live here half of the time bit. Now, sell the house to you know, just to be filled with meat eaters, and all of it was built by devotees basically here. Why? Because, well, we should get a kirtan hall instead somewhere and do sankirtan. Well, good, but you don't need a hall to do sankirtan. You can just go outdoors and downtown, one of the best places in the world for Harinam sankirtan. We used to do it all the time. Every day we sat on the carpet down there and chanted and gave out little prasadam and sold books and all that. That's what Hare Krishnas do. But then you're going to sell the house and get a kirtan hall. you're going to have kirtan there day and night every day, or Sunday feast, and then it stands there empty. What are you going to do with it? And it costs rent, and it costs this and that. I mean, some are so, sorry, but out of touch with the Swedish reality here, prices, costs, and practical issues for doing things. And here's a beautiful house in the most beautiful area of Stockholm, where devotees, beautiful devotees, have their apartments and are living. And I told him that this is what this house is. But he's thinking, no, we should have a big temple. But where are the devotees going to live? Oh, they can find their own apartments. Well, it's not easy to find apartments in Sweden. You say, I mean, just as an example. And then I was thinking after, but how little concern about the devotees, their actual lives. They were just some living beings up there in those box apartments that are anyway in bad shape. So who I care about them? Let's just get rid of it. But I said, and that's how I feel. I mean, we should see ourselves as humble servants of those doors. Hey, did you forget all this that you read in the books by Prabhupada? That first of all, Krishna says, the one who says he's a servant to me is not my servant, but he's a servant to my devotees, he's my servant. This is the central understanding there of bhakti in Vaishnavism. So here you have a chance to serve these devotees who are aging also. And so one of them, those aging devotees, had to move away from here because her apartment was such a bad shape, she couldn't live there anymore. And she's old. She probably thought that she could spend the rest of her life here in the temple with the devotees, but now she had to move out somewhere in the material world alone. It can be very lonely out there. I lived for a year or so in Jaina in an apartment, just an ordinary apartment building. And it was lonely, no devotees around. So I'm so grateful that we can live here. And, you know, I'm 70 in a couple of weeks, so I'm also, like, sometimes worried, will they sell the house all of a sudden? Where am I going to live? Well, I can probably get an apartment there in Jaina, but then I will be out there again. And the same with all those others who live here. So I'm just saying this, telling you this story because it's real, it's what I'm in right now. As an example, because it's so important. And I say that if I would give my analysis of why ISKCON, the Krishna Consciousness Movement, hasn't grown more than it has, and become more successful than it has, it is because of Vaishnava Parad being conducted. And this is one form of it. It doesn't mean you stand there and you shout into the face of someone abusive language. It means you treat other devotees badly, or you exploit them. You raise the rents as much as you can and squeeze the money out of them, who are pensioners with very low pensions. And then, where does the money go? Well, not in maintaining and renovating the house, that's for sure. So, I don't want to criticize anyone, but in particular, I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm just saying, talking about this, it's not even a principle, it's the heart and life of the Vaishnava of the devotees, of all us who are actually servants of God, and that goes beyond, you know, maths. You know, the Krishna devotees, they, I mean, just be honest about it, they're fighting between different fractions, not even fractions, different branches of that tree, which is called the Gaudiya Mission, which was originally built with 64 branches and then included a 65th branch of ISKCON, which then branches out in itself, and it's a tree. And that's how it's always been, not a pyramid where there should be a top world government. But then they had the GBC there, or GBC was established by Bhaktisiddhanta, even Bhaktivinoda, I don't know. As a counselor, what do you call it? Like a United Nations for the branches, I mean, where they can meet and share experiences and correct each other if someone thinks the other one has done something wrong. Let's deal it out between each other. That's the way you do it. That's the way nations do it. That's the way companies, organizations do it. Those who are successful. And that's the tree. So I covered a lot of things now, but you see how much even organizational structures and everything, and I'm talking now actually for the welfare of the Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada started, and which I myself I dedicated my life to. I want to be able to continue doing that, but, and you know, others with me have or are seriously doubting that. Let's be frank about it. I mean, doubting the viability and the usefulness of yet another religious institution. I mean, we can just study history and we see it goes the same way for everyone who turn into religious institutions. But then, of course, you can have that religious institution, they're fine. I mean, it serves its purpose. But it should be serving the devotees. That's the purpose of an institution, of an NGO, or whatever you want to call it. Especially a spiritual institution, to serve its members, to help its members to become happy, healthy, successful devotees, servants of God, roaming around on earth and lighting up this darkness by their own inner light. So it's not a matter of building huge buildings and fancy projects to show, here we are, look at us, how we are shining. That's what religious institutions have become. I think that's how they think. And look at me here on the top. And there's another one over there on the top of that other hill. But he's not with us. He's trying to take my people, my power, So it gets mundane, right? But the reality here, and that's the one we need to keep our eyes on, keep our eyes open, is that what matters is the devotees of God, God's people, servants, family, because we are a family. We have the same parents. And I'm talking universal knowledge here, not that we, the Gaudiya Vaishnava community, we are God's family. The others, karmis, mayavadis. But everyone on the planet who has, from whatever culture and whatever language it is expressed, taken up that or has that in his or her life, that yes, I am a part of God, I'm a ray from God and Goddess, Radha Krishna, as we say in it. The Indian Vaishnava tradition, you have your names of God and Goddess. And you know, I'm now getting maybe too sounding too epical here, but I mean, it's about us. And I have no idea when I speak if this is anyone will listen to it ever. But I'm speaking to all of us, ordinary, the real people on this planet who just want to live friendly, happily together and loving each other, and you know. It's about each and every one of us. We can decide, yes, and first of all, see the fact that, yes, I am a ray of the Supreme Consciousness, a ray of God, which means I'm a child of God and Goddess. And so is everyone else. That makes us a big family. So I should just live with that consciousness and thus treat my fellow beings, whatever bodies they have, well. At least leave each other in peace. I mean, it's just so obvious and so basic and so common sense, right? And this is, you know, when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement back in the late 70s, that's the mood that ruled in some of our, I mean, the circus I moved around in, I would say that's the mood that ruled. And if you are like us, and if you can relate to this, then, you know, just get in touch. There is this nice place where we can meet. It's called Discord, and I guess that's what this is from the mainstream media apparatus out there. It's a nice meeting place. So see you there. Hare Krishna.